Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 22, the details of product pricing. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Thank you for joining me today on the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast. I'm Sarah Kornack. In this episode, we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts, kind of the detailed spreadsheet side of product pricing. Bethann had a great episode, episode 20, on kind of the psychology behind setting your prices, which was very helpful. But as the spreadsheet-loving accountant that I am, when I heard her episode, my mind was automatically going to the nuts and bolts Excel spreadsheet side of figuring out your pricing. Today's episode is mostly going to focus on product pricing, but if you listen to episode 21 with Ariel Holcomb, I thought she did an excellent job of explaining how she determined her pricing as a photographer. And I thought her advice was very relevant for anybody with kind of a service type business. So listen to episode 21 to get some tips on how to price if you are more of a service type of a business. Although photography is kind of a mix of service and product. So when we talk about determining a price for your product, there are four main components that really go into determining the appropriate price. The first component are all of the direct costs of your item. The second are the indirect costs. Third, you've got your time. And then fourth, you need some sort of a profit. So the direct costs of any product that you are making are the items that are directly attributable to that item and that product. So for instance, the cost of materials. For our butterfly terrarium kits, we have set up spreadsheets that are extremely detailed and cover all of the materials that go into making each particular kit. We actually have a column for each individual kit because there are differences in the costs for each one. For instance, the butterfly is different in each kit and the flowers are different in each kit. Some of the costs remain the same, such as the jar, but a lot of the costs are different for each kit. So we individually list out in a spreadsheet our direct costs for each product. Don't forget all of the tiny little things that go into your product, such as the packaging. Do you use little gift boxes or cute little bags with a sticker? Is there a ribbon tied around a box or a bag? Do you include a business card in with each purchase? If you're selling on Etsy, each purchase has a listing fee. If you're selling from your own online store, then each item, when they're purchased with a credit card, may have a credit card transaction fee. Do your best to be as accurate as possible and to include every last little item that goes into your product. So for instance, if you use a little bit of ribbon, measure out how much ribbon you're using and divide that by the whole spool and get an estimate of how much ribbon you're using on each product and how much that costs. For our moss that we buy in bulk and then use in our terrarium kits, I actually did an estimate of moss usage based on weight. It was easier for me to weigh how much I was putting in each kit and then determine how much moss in weight I got with each shipment of moss. So that's another method that you could use. But be detailed. List out each product, list out each component that goes into that product, and include in your spreadsheet the exact cost or your best estimate of the direct materials, direct costs that go into your product that you are creating. Also, don't forget to include the cost of shipping those materials to you. So for instance, we use Uline for our shipping boxes. And each shipping box doesn't cost very much, maybe 30 cents each. But what I've discovered is the shipping cost to get those boxes to me adds about 30%. So don't forget to include not only what does the material cost, but include how much you are paying to get those materials to you. Next, you have indirect costs. These cannot be directly assigned to production or to a certain product, but they are still a cost of running your business. So for instance, we have our accounting software. We also have indirect costs such as different programs and apps that we use to stay organized or stay on top of social media or things of that nature. If you are renting a facility, you're going to have a rent. If you have your own website, you're going to have web hosting. So these are all of the costs of running your business that you cannot directly associate with an individual product, but they are still there. So you need to find a system to assign a small amount of these indirect costs to each product that you sell. A good way to do this might be to write down all of your monthly costs that you have, your indirect costs, your accounting fees, your rent, your web hosting, total them all up and divide that by the number of products you on average sell in a month or the number of products you are hoping to sell that month. And the result will be an amount of indirect costs that you can assign to each product that you are selling that month. Now that formula is going to change maybe every month, maybe every couple of months, because number one, your indirect costs could fluctuate. You could have to increase your web hosting costs, or maybe you found a cheaper accounting software, so that indirect cost goes down. But then you also may begin to sell more products. So as you are increasing the number of products that you sell per month, the amount of indirect costs that each product has to sustain goes down. So indirect costs are that second component that have to go into your pricing model. It's definitely trickier than the direct costs, but if you ignore the indirect costs, then you're going to be surprised when at the end of every month, you're actually not getting anywhere. You're not making any money. All of those little tiny monthly fees start to add up much quicker than you probably realize. The third component is your time. This one can be tricky also. You need to determine what your time is worth as an artist, as a designer, as a crafter. You have a skill that you have worked on and developed in order to make or produce the product that you are selling. So do not undervalue that skill that you have acquired. As Beth Ann mentioned in her episode, it's very tempting to want to assign your time value, a value that maybe you were making when you were working full time out in the corporate world, or, you know, what I was making when I was working full time as an auditor, and assign that value to my work on the terrarium kits. But that really is going to skew your results. I mean, maybe you are such a talented seamstress that what you were making when you were a nurse, you should actually be paid more for your time now than you were when you were working 40 hours a week. So make sure that you're basing your time value on your current skills and your current abilities as an artist or as a crafter. Don't also forget that if you've created a unique design, if you've created something that's unique, if your creativity went into an original idea, don't forget that that's worth something too. If nobody else has thought of this before and you are the first, that has a lot of value as well. The fact that you put all the time into the design elements or into the creation of this. So make sure you do give yourself enough credit for what you are doing. You may also want to consider making some of your items in an assembly line type fashion in order to, number one, increase your productivity, and two, it gives you a better idea of how much time it really takes for you to make one item or one product. So for instance, let's say there's three steps to making your product. Let's say in step one, you can do that step for 10 items in 1 hour. Let's say step two, you can do that step for 20 items in that same hour. And let's say in step three, you can only get through 5 items in that hour. And I'm going to put this math in the show notes. But what it comes down to is it's really taking you 3.5 hours for 10 products. So if you're valuing your time at $20 an hour, then you're going to add $7 in for each product that you're producing in this pricing equation. Now, maybe your items cannot be made in an assembly line fashion, but if they can, I would encourage you to explore that, because if you're doing step one over and over and over again for, you know, those 10 products, that's much more efficient and you can churn more out than if you're doing step one, step two, step three for the same product and then going back to the beginning and then doing it step one, step two, step three for your next item. So if you're a seamstress, you're sewing pillows. I'm not a seamstress, so maybe this doesn't make sense, but in my little example, it would make sense to cut out your fabric or pin your pattern and do the cutting out for, you know, 20 pillows all at the same time. And then you sit down and you sew those 20 pillows all at the same time. And then you stuff those 20 pillows all at the same time. And keep track of your time that it takes to go through each of those processes and see how many products you can get through each step in an hour. So that is, it helps you to run your business more efficiently, but then it helps you to be able to price your products a little bit more accurately. So time is then that third component. The last component is the profit. Some formulas just add in a profit number that you want to gain from each sale. That's one method. Another method might be to just add a percentage on to each item. There are a couple of formulas then you could use to combine all of these elements into your pricing model. The first formula could be time plus direct materials plus indirect materials. So time is the value you are assigning your time for making that one product. And then multiplying all of that by 1.1. And so then in that instance, the 10% that you're adding is your profit. And that formula, so time plus direct materials, indirect materials, all of that times 1.1 gives you your wholesale price. And then if you multiply that by 2, that gets you your retail price. Retailers, when they buy from you wholesale, pretty much want to get your item for half what they will retail it for. That has been our experience so far. Now, some people out there take that same formula and they actually multiply their cost of materials by 2. That, for our products, would make them priced what we feel to be as way too high. We pretty much are using that formula ourselves. I mean, it's not exact and we adjust depending upon the product, but the time plus the direct and indirect cost times 1.1 is pretty much arrives at our wholesale price for each of our terrarium kits. Another formula I saw was the direct materials, the time, the indirect expenses, and then adding in a profit number instead of doing the multiply by 1.1 and the 10% is your profit. In this formula, you decide on what profit you want to make on each item. It is important to remember that after you've added in your direct and your indirect costs and your time, you do need a profit margin. Otherwise, your business is not going to be able to grow and go anywhere. If you are only recouping for your time and for your materials and your expenses, your business can't actually expand. You can't make a bulk purchase. You can't expand into new products because you won't have any cash flow there to accomplish those goals. So This formula is kind of nice, and it forces you to add that profit in as part of the equation and really spend some time thinking about that. And in this formula, that arrives at the wholesale cost times 2 equals retail. Once you've kind of played around with your figures and you've tried these different formulas, and both will be in the show notes so you can actually look at them, compare those, think about those prices. How do they seem to you? Compare them to your competition, but keep in mind that you are unique, so you can't exactly match your competition. You've got a unique spin on the products. Maybe you have a unique design. Maybe you add value in another way. So look at the competition, but don't judge your prices solely off of the competition. You also need to think about what you think the market can bear. What is the max price you think somebody would be willing to pay for a product? If your formula is coming up with an outrageous number that, you know, $100 for a pillow, then you might need to go back to the drawing board on materials, on time. Maybe you need to do more in assembly line. Maybe you need to hire cheaper help. Maybe you need to cut back on your indirect expenses. So use these pricing models as a way to determine if your business plan is really a viable one. I'd encourage you to play around with your prices a little, raise them a little, lower them a little, and see what the effect is. Pricing can be an ever-evolving process, so play around a little. See what sounds good. Ask your friends, does 39 sound better or does 41 sound better? And don't be afraid to play around, but then observe the results and see, did I sell more when I priced it at 39? Or are sales super slow when they're priced at 41? Pay attention to the results when you play around with prices. Remember, and Ariel touched on this in episode 21, as your skill level increases, so should the value of your time. If you are getting better and better at your craft or your skill or as a designer, then you need to be slowly, incrementally raising those rates for your time. And don't forget to do that. And this is a little side note. If you can't keep up with your demand, if you are just selling out of your pillows like it's nobody's business, then you should probably consider one of two things. We actually heard of a shop putting themselves in vacation mode when they got too many sales. Let me tell you, that is the wrong thing to do. If you have too many customers and you cannot keep up with the demand, then you need to do one of two things. You need to either raise your prices because people are really willing to pay the lower prices, and maybe you're just priced too low, and so there's a constant run on your products. Maybe you need to consider raising your prices. And number two, maybe you should get some help and consider bringing on somebody to do part of the process for you. If you're a seamstress, keep coming back to this example for some reason today. If you're making decorative pillows, I am guessing you could find somebody to lay out the pattern and cut out the fabric for you. Somebody would, I bet, love to do that in their home, to have the bolts of fabric that they can keep at their house and have a small side income while they're at home with their kids cutting out the fabric for you. And then you, and I'm guessing the cutting out of the fabric part isn't a highly skilled part of what you do. But then you can take what they've cut out and pinned for you, and then you just use your seamstress skills to make the final product. Or maybe your talent really is in the designing part of what you're making as a seamstress. So hiring out even more, like the sewing part, could be a good move. And those are things that will happen as you grow. Obviously, when you're just starting out, you're not going to be hiring out different functions, but this is if you get to the point where you cannot keep up with demand. Well, don't be afraid to bring in help for those lesser skilled parts. And of course, those people should be making a lower hourly wage than what you are assigning for your time value. And I am guessing you know friends who would love to find something that they could do in their home. That was kind of a rambling bit there. But final thoughts here on pricing. Do you have to have a wholesale price and a retail price for everything? And the answer is no. Maybe every single product of yours is custom made, and so in no way does wholesale ever make sense for you. That is fine. Your model of only selling direct retail is just fine. We have some products at the Amateur Naturalist where our kids' kits, there's just not enough margin for us to work those on a wholesale basis. And that's fine. Our other products that have enough wiggle room, enough margin where we can have a wholesale price and a retail price, we've been able to sell those wholesale. We've sold to a couple places wholesale. But some of our products we say, no, either time intensive or the cost of materials is too high, and the wholesale pricing just doesn't work for those. Don't be afraid to not offer some of your products wholesale and only offer products wholesale that actually make sense for the cost of materials and time, etc. So I hope this nuts and bolts episode on pricing of products was helpful to some of you. Pricing is really tricky and you really just need to fool around with it, but you also have got to be pretty specific and detailed as to what goes into each product, because I think you will find if you do a spreadsheet and you get detailed about each item and the materials and the indirect costs that go into each one, you may be surprised that you're making less per product than you realized. And that's important information. You need to know exactly how much your product costs in direct, indirect materials, and your time so that you can tell if your business model is working. Can you make a profit? Can you grow your business? And you need to figure this out from the beginning. I know some of you don't love spreadsheets as much as I do, but force yourself to do this. The first time you do it might take a bit of time, but then you can just tweak it as time goes by and costs change. So head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/22. Take a look at the show notes where I'll show you these formulas and have some more detailed information about what I discussed here today. And feel free to leave a comment, ask a question on Facebook, or send us an email with a question. We'd be happy to talk with you about any question that you might have. And let me know what you discover when you kind of sit down and do a very detailed look at your pricing structure. Thank you so much for listening today. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.